All right, let's get ready to get into it. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to open up into the Word this morning. Nehemiah chapter 8 is where we'll be. Father, we just give you thanks and glory in this place today for all that you are. You're a good God, and you love us. Our gratitude would never be enough, Father. There's nothing more we could ever say or nothing more we could ever do to show our appreciation for how much you love us and how much you've done for us, God. Just reminded, Lord, if you never do another thing, you've already done so much. And we thank you for it all, God. I pray that you open up our eyes and our ears that we can hear a word from you today, Lord. Speak to our hearts in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Amen. Let's give God praise one time real quick. Thank you, Jesus. All right. All right. Worship team, we're good. We're good. Thank you, guys. You guys did amazing. Good job.
Thank you, worship team.
Yeah. Nehemiah, can you turn me down, Jerry? You're freaking me out. Nehemiah chapter 8. This last week, a couple days ago, you guys are going to have to forgive me if I didn't shake your hand. I got a little something weird last night, and I want to make sure I don't pass it off to you guys. Jerry, bring it down a little bit more. But do you guys ever get kind of like a head cold and you just feel funky? That's a word that we call it. My family calls it feeling funky. And it's where you get this stuff up in your head and it just feels like everything's kind of off and it's weird. And as I was preparing the message and going through some of this, I started thinking about Nehemiah chapter 8 and how there's a situation where Israel is feeling kind of funky, but not physically, but spiritually. And I also noticed too that during the holidays, we have a tendency, whether we're sick or not, to kind of feel funky. Anybody? Where the holidays make you feel kind of weird? Am I just alone in all of this? In fact, I'm going to tell you guys a secret about me and Vicky, but you can't tell anybody else, okay? Promise me. Oh, you guys are going to promise me? I want to share something, but you got to promise not to tell anybody. You promise?
Yeah.
I don't believe you guys. Forget it. But Vicky and I, we get in the holidays, we get to where we feel so weird, we just kind of skip a whole holiday. So like November, if you were to walk into my house, all you're going to see is Christmas stuff. We're not even getting into Thanksgiving. We're totally going to just bypass all of Thanksgiving. And I think because a lot of this time, and like in November, it kind of makes us feel kind of weird. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's something that happened in the past or whatever, but sometimes there's certain holidays that kind of brings out this weird, funky feeling that we kind of get. And so Vicky and I, we just determined to just go ahead and bypass Thanksgiving altogether. Anybody else? Or is that just us? It's just us? Okay. We're still going to have Thanksgiving dinner. Jerry, you got to bring me down, man. You're scaring me. Bring me down a little bit. We're still going to have Thanksgiving dinner, but anyways, we are definitely going to just kind of skip the whole November Thanksgiving thing and just focus on Christmas for us. But Israel's at that place where everything for them at this particular time is going pretty well. You guys know that the walls have been rebuilt. And when the walls have been rebuilt around Jerusalem, it means that they are starting to have prosperity inside Jerusalem. It means that not only are they able to prosper, but they've got security and things are good around them, relatively good. There's no fighting or anything like that. But yet inside, as we go through this, there's just something weird going on where they don't got no joy of the Holy Spirit. There's no joy of the Lord in them. They're not really rejoicing all of that much. And there's something that's missing in their life. And it's the same thing that we miss a lot in our life when we get in these seasons and we just kind of feel funky, just spiritual funk. And it comes down to receiving the Word of God. And so what we want to do this morning, we want to look at getting that funk out. Say it with me, get the funk out. Be careful now. Be careful. But we want the funk out. We want to get that out. And this is what happened. So Nehemiah, we're going to start Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. This is their deal. And it's like that with you. You know, you could have your bills paid. You had enough health to walk in here today. Maybe you had something to eat last night. And your kids are okay and everybody's doing fairly well. But we can get in those weird seasons where we're just feeling kind of weird and messed up. And I want to show you something. This is cool that might help you as it helps me and my family, I know. And we're going to see what that is in Nehemiah chapter 8. Are you guys there? Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1 says, in Nehemiah, now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Moses and commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month, and then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and the women arose who could understand, and the ears of all the people were what? Attentive to the book of the law. And so Ezra, the scribe, stood on the platform of wood, which they had made for the purpose beside him. And at his right hand stood a bunch of people. I'm not even going to read because I'll totally mess it up. And on his left hand stood a bunch of people. I'm not even going to read because I'll mess it up. But in verse 5, it says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, and he was standing above all the people when he opened it, and all the people stood up. I like that when it said that he was reading that, the word of God, we'll get into it in a second, it said he had people on his left and a whole bunch of people on his right. How many of you guys are thankful that God puts people in your life around you? Because you need them. Last week was just a gnarly week for me. It was a gnarly spiritual battle. And I was talking to Vicky about it, and I said, I am so thankful that before I go through anything, it's had to go through all the prayers of you before it ever gets to me. And I was telling her how thankful I am for our team and for our church that prays over this ministry and everything that we deal with. Because sometimes, man, there's a spiritual battle out there where you need people around you praying over you, putting a hedge of protection around you with the word of God. So Ezra's got these guys on his left and he's got them on his right. And it said that they were all together as one man. Did you see it? And that kind of spoke to me because I thought, man, you know the Spirit of God had to have been working in those people before there was even a message preached. Because today, it's so hard to get people together, to different people together that agree on anything. Did you notice that? Man, there's no, and the thing that I love about Christ is that he doesn't divide us, he unites us. There's no Democrats in here, Republicans in here, Independents in here, and all of that mess that's going on out there. You know what? When we come into the house of God, we're one people. We're God's people. We're God's kids. And so all of this other stuff that's going on out there, that's their business. But our business is to be about the business of the Lord. Amen? To come into the house of God as one, like they did. So they're coming together. It says that they all came as one. And the thing that brought them all together was the Word, was the Bible. That's why we're here today, to hear a word from the Lord. If you came for any other reason, I'm sorry, you're going to be disappointed, because we want to get into the Word this morning. The word brings us together. It said that it brought them together at the water gate. And I think that's kind of fitting, because when you look through the New Testament, water is a symbol of the word. Water is a symbol of the word of God. Because the word of God, when you read Psalm chapter 119, verse 9, I think it was, David said, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. So even in the Old Testament, we see the word of God as water, as it's a cleansing that we get from hearing the word. And so when they're hearing the word, they're listening, and they're listening to it at the water gate. And I started thinking about, when it comes to the word, and the word being a picture of water that cleanses and washes us, what would happen if you didn't shower for a day? Now, I carry a lot of cologne around with me. I do. I just in my car. I want to smell good. If you didn't shower for a day, you'd probably be okay, right? Some of you are like, good Lord, no. What about 2 days? What about a week? Like, let's just say you went a whole week and you didn't have a bath or a shower. You know what would happen? You would reek. You would get to where you would smell so bad. You know, people would be bumping into you with buckets of hot soapy water. Oh, I'm sorry. And they'd get it all over you because you need a bath. And I started thinking about some people treat the Word of God like some people don't bathe. And that after a while, if you're not in it, your life will begin to stink. Stuff around you seems to just get messed up, and things are just, they reek and they're not right. But when you get into the Word of God, I want to promise you something. When you get into the Word of God, I want to encourage you to do it, because there's cleansing in the Word. There's healing in the Word. God wants to show you who He is. And the way that He does that is that He's not just going to manifest Himself in your presence. He manifests Himself in His Word. Hey, if you want to know the character of God and you want to get to know the God that loves you, you know where you go? Right here. And you see God, you see His character, and you plug into the Word of God, and you get into it. And so the people cry out, bring the book. Now, the book they got, it's not the Bible that we have. They were talking about the law, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And when they say to Ezra to bring the word, did you see the time frame? It was from morning to midday. Did you guys catch that? And what blew my mind about that was that when it said morning, that meant an hour before the sun was even up. An hour. They didn't have no Posturepedic. They didn't have Starbucks. They didn't have the alarm set on that iPhone. And you know what they did? They got up an hour before anything and got out to hear the Word of God, and they stayed there for 6 hours. That blows my mind, because the content was so hard. I mean, sometimes we're in Nehemiah, and I love teaching it because there's a lot of things going on that relate to us. But man, think about teaching and preaching through Leviticus, Numbers. It's like, good Lord, we know that all of Scripture is inspired by God. We get it. But hey, if you're honest, you're going to say, hey, you know what? Sometimes I get in those books and I just check right out. It's like you're just trying to do your time to read through it in your devotions. But it's hard content. But you know what that tells me about these people? When they get there, I start asking them questions. If you don't talk to your Bible, it's never going to answer back. Did you know it? So I start asking these guys, how come you're going to sit there for 6 hours under that? And you know what they told me? Because when you need to hear a word from God, you've got no other place to go. When something is going on in your life and you're having an issue, you'll do whatever it takes. You'll make whatever sacrifice you got to make. You'll get whatever's got to get done to get to the Word of God. Because you know that's where God's going to speak into your life. You know that's where we get our encouragement and our hope. And God speaks into our specific situations. And so they're hearing the Word of God that's applying directly to their lives. And they're like, okay, they're getting it. And they're sitting there for 6 hours through this whole thing. And for some of us, as a pastor, there's such a big difference between preaching and teaching the Word of God to people who want to hear it and people who don't want to hear it. Because from up here, I can see everything. And sometimes you'll be teaching and you'll get people that will be doing the holy nod. It's like, they're doing this. And I can see you. Like, I can see you. I can see you. I know that's not prayer. And I know you're not giving me no amen. I know that. And then sometimes you get people that come in and they'll do this. And I'm like, really? Like that loud. They'll yawn. They got the holy nod. And then sometimes, I remember one time I was teaching, there was this girl, she was in like one of the front rows, and man, that pencil was on fire. I was like, okay, she's getting it. This girl's taking some notes. She's writing everything down. She's into it. And then after church, we're cleaning up, and I go under her seat, and I find her paper. And I'm like, oh man, this girl's going to miss all her notes because she's not going to be able to live right when she gets out of here. And I look at the paper and it was horses and trees. This girl had created a mural on this back of the envelope. And I was like, oh my gosh, like that's what you're doing? You're painting trees? And so when we come, we got to make sure that, listen, pastors need to work on preparing messages. Amen. But you need to work on preparing your ears. See, God, that's what Jesus said. He said, take heed how you hear, for the measure you use, it will be returned back to you. That means the more you plug in, the more you're going to get. And so these people, when they're sitting there around the Word of God, and Ezra's preaching to them, and they're taking it in, it says, let's go up to verse 6, that Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people said, amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And also, a bunch of names we're not going to read today. I encourage you to do it on your free time. Help the people to understand the law. That's those first five books. And the people stood in their place. So they read distinctly from the book of the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra was the priest and the scribe and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. So Ezra, they create a platform for him, kind of like this, built up out of wood. And did they need to do that? I don't know. I don't think so. I think Ezra could have just got up just fine right there in the dirt and just started proclaiming the Word of God. But instead, they went to like Copeland's and got a bunch of wood and lumber, and they started building stuff. And they built a platform for Ezra, and his back is against the water gate so he could project his voice. You guys know there's nothing wrong with being practical to preach, right? And that's why when we're building in here and we're doing stuff and you guys come in and you see everything that's going on, it's practical. And God's okay with it. I'm sure Ezra would have been all over the internet. He would have gone viral. No, the internet is not of the devil. And so we want to use these things. We want to use the tools that we have that are around us that are practical so it can help us preach. It says, and Ezra starts giving him the word. And as he's giving him the word starts working in the people. They say, amen, amen. And when you see amen, that word, I don't know, sometimes we say it in church, it means so be it. So be it. I like what you just said. I agree with what you just said. I want some of what you just said. That's what amen means. That's why when we're preaching and teaching, we're talking about gossiping and stuff, things get really quiet because no one wants it. It's like, I don't know about that. I don't. Or we talk about, man, you need to go and forgive somebody that you had a fight with at work, or you need to make something right with your husband or whatever. That's when things start getting real quiet. But we want to say, look, we don't want to just come into the house of God and only get encouragement. It's good to be encouraged and to hear the Word of God and to hear stuff that's speaking to us that can build us up. But I want to tell you something. Encouragement is great, but we just don't want encouragement. We want establishment. We want God to establish in us His Word. And sometimes that when that happens, there's going to be some conviction. There's going to be conviction when all of that happens. It says they got down on their face and they were weeping. I think sometimes we have a false view of what church should be like. Sometimes. I want to go into the house of God. I want to be inspired. I want to be blessed. I want to get hooked up. I want to go out of there feeling on a high note, better than I came in. But listen, if we do that, if we're just hearing a word of God that encourages us, we're going to get a messed up walk with our God because we need correction and we need conviction in our lives. Matthew and Nehemiah said they wept and they mourned. Real happiness begins when we acknowledge our sin, when there's conviction. That's when real happiness can begin, is when we acknowledge what separates us from God, we bring it to God, we get cleansed of it, we deal with it, and then we can move on and rejoice after it. If I was to bring an encouraging word, or if anybody brings an encouraging word, and somebody's living in sin, and they're doing a lifestyle contrary to the Word of God, and they come in, and all they hear is, yeah, God wants to bless this, and God wants to bless that. Do you know how messed up somebody's going to be like that? It's kind of like if you go to a doctor, and you tell him everything that you want him to say about you. I don't want anything bad. I don't want to hear none of that. This is what's going on with me. I just want to know everything's okay. I just want to know that it's going to be all right. Write me my slip that I've passed all this stuff and send me out of the door. You know, we'd be so messed up if that happened. And so God wants to convict us, because not that he wants us to turn away from him or push us away from him, but that he wants to drag us in. And it's in that conviction when we're like, okay, Lord, I see this issue in my life, and it pushes us in closer into a relationship with Jesus. See, there's this thing that can happen. And maybe it's for somebody this might be somebody in here, where if we hear a word from the Lord and we constantly just push it aside, I'm not trying to hear that. I don't want to, not right now. That's not for me. That's for my creepy neighbor. We run the risk of searing our hearts so hard against God that when he's trying to speak to you, to bless you, to bring joy into your life, you won't hear it because you've seared your conscience by obeying what he's already said. And so we need to get to that place where they're like, they're saying amen, but then at the same time, they get on their face and it says that they were weeping, that they're weeping over some issues that they had in their life. And so now, in verse 9, it says, Nehemiah, who is the governor, after where I read that part, they mourned and they wept, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. And so it said that in verse 7, he explained it. This is what Ezra did. He explained it, and he helped them understand the meaning of it. And that's good advice for us too. Simply teach the Word of God what? Simply. You don't got to get clever. Just be clear. And that's our goal here at the church, is that when we're teaching the Bible, we don't need to get into all kinds of big fancy words and theologies and things like that. We want to have a solid doctrine and theology, we do. But when it comes to preaching the gospel, it's simply teaching the Word of God simply. We don't need to be clever, we just got to be clear. And sometimes it's like we need to have help with what we hear. That's why we come today. We're all learning together. We're all learning. Sometimes the reason why we need help, what says Ezra helped them, is because sometimes we'll read something and just not think it applies to us. Or it applies to that neighbor down the street. Or, man, my wife needs to hear this. Or my husband should listen to that. And God's like, no, you need to hear this. This is a message for you. And so sometimes we need to hear, okay, listen, that's talking about me. Another time, too, is we just don't have the time to study the Word of God. A lot of us have got jobs, we've got schedules, we got kids, we're busy. And so it helps to have somebody study culture and language and history and things like that, so we can hear the Word of God and understand it. And so he says, they understood it. They heard this word before, but they saw it more clearly. And it's kind of like an art restorer. We can go and look at a painting on a wall, but they can take that painting off and they can clean it up. And then you can see a lot of stuff that you never saw before. And you're like, oh, okay, I get it. And so when we're coming together and we're learning the Word of God and we're going through it, it's just kind of like we're cleaning some stuff around it to where we can see and say, okay, God, I'm getting your Word. I'm understanding it. Because it's when we understand what God wants us to do, we can live on how he wants us to live. And that's how he changes our life. And so Ezra helped them. And then in verse 10, it says they hear the Word and they understand the Word. It says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet. I like that. Ezra's like, you can go to McDonald's and get the shake. take two. Don't even worry about it. We'll go to McDonald's, and sometimes like I'll get a hamburger and not eat the bun. But Vicky's like, you're just being stupid. That stuff, it's all bad. So he's like, eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I like that, because after they went from their conviction, you got to watch conviction. Conviction is good. Condemnation is not. Did you know that? If you leave condemned, that's not of the Lord. The Bible tells us that God gave his only begotten son. He didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. So conviction is good. Conviction is good. But if you're not careful and you start looking at some things in your life that you've confessed to God and you're still holding on to them, that's a problem. And so what he does is he sees them. He says, hey, listen, okay, look, now it's time for us to rejoice. Now it's time for us to celebrate God's forgiveness, because his faithfulness is always greater than your faults. Did you know it? You couldn't mess up enough for him not to forgive it. And so he gets them to this place and he says, okay, it's a time of celebration. Let's get back to God and celebrate with what God's doing. Because some of us, I think, hold on to some regrets that even God doesn't remember. And here you're just like constantly going over the same old thing over and over again when you need to give it to the Lord and let it go. Warren Wiersbe, I love this guy, he said that it's as wrong to continue to mourn when God has forgiven you as it is to rejoice when sin has conquered you. You got to make a choice to rejoice. You got to make it a choice. You got to say, okay, God, I know you've forgiven it. I know you healed me from it. I know you've got good things for me. And then it's time to move on. And so that's what they do. And they start rejoicing. And it says in verse 13, now on the second day, the heads of the fathers of all the people with the priests and Levites were gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month. And they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and all of Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of oil trees, myrrh, branches of palm, branches of leafy trees to make booths as it is written. And then the people went out and brought them, and they made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house and on their courtyards, or the courts of the house of God, and in the open square at the water gate, and in the open square at the gate of Ephraim. So the whole assembly of those who had returned from captivity made booths and sat under the booths, for since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until the days of the children of Israel had not done so, and there was great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read from the book of the law, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day, a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. And so we're going to close out with this. When we see this, and it says that there is the heads of the household. These are the guys that are like the husbands. Maybe if you're a single mom at home and you're raising children, something like that. Ezra said that they came back after they had that initial sermon and all of that celebration. And they came back, these key guys came back to hear more of the Word of God. And the reason why they come back to hear more of the Word of God is because they are the head of their household. And a head of a household, whatever affects you doesn't just affect you, it affects all those around you. The way that you handle your anger, the way that you handle your stress around your kids and around your husband or your wife, the way that you deal being stressed out, and there's people around you that are looking to you as the head of the household. And so these guys say, you know what? We need to go and dig deeper into this Word of God and hear another word and see what's going on. And when they did so, something happened. They had overlooked something in the Scriptures that they had previously missed. It was a command by God to build a booth out in the inside of the city here. And we remember what that booth was all about. Do you guys remember Moses and Pharaoh and how God led the children of Israel out of Egypt? 3 days later, they're out there crying that they had it better as slaves in bondage. Man, God is so patient. If I was God, I would have been like, man, you guys are crying. I just brought you out of 450 years of bondage. And now you're going to sit out here and cry like that? But he was patient with them. And he protected them. And he provided for them. And so when we see this command that they missed, it was an observation. Hey, listen, when this day comes, it's kind of like New Year's Eve for them. You know, Dick Clark, the ball goes, Times Square. That's kind of the setting that's going on right here. And he says, look, we've missed this boost, these building of the boost, in remembrance of how good God has been. Now, what's interesting about that is the city walls are already constructed. And normally that would have been their source of security, the walls. But God says, I want you to build those booths right inside of those walls. Because I want it to be a reminder to you that no matter what kind of security you think you got around you, I'm still the one protecting you. It's not your job. It's not your retirement. It's not your workout schedule. It's not your diet. But it's God protecting us. And so he tells them, listen, I want you to do this and remember it. And you know what they did? They heard the word and they did it. So not only did they hear the word and understand it, they let the word of God get into them and convict them. And then they responded to it and they obeyed it. So when it comes to getting this stuff out of our life, when we get in these spiritual seasons where things just seem really messed up and weird, although things are going relatively good around us, you know what's missing? The joy of the Lord in you. And getting the Word of God in you that it brings this rejoicing out of you. In verse 17, we don't need to go back over it, but it says they heard the Word of God, they did it, and it led to rejoicing. And so we want to obey the Word of God. We don't want to just hear it. And for some of us, I think if you look at the Bible, I know this was for me. I would look at the Bible, I'm like, if I do all of this stuff, like if I do what I see God saying, I'm going to be the most boring, miserable, nerdiest, like no one's going to want to hang out with me guy in the world. This is just a bunch of ridiculous stuff. Because sin looks good for a season, doesn't it? And there's that old saying, if you don't like sin, then you ain't doing it right. Sin is like, sin's good. I mean, not good, but you like to sin. We like to sin. And some of us think, man, that's the way to go. But there's consequences to that, big time. There's a song that's, I can't remember who the group was, but they said, the song is called Cool Kids. Have you guys ever heard that song? Wish I could be like all the cool kids, because all the cool kids, they seem to fit in. Anybody? Who am I preaching to? Come on. You've heard that song? So I was reading about it. I think it's called Echo Smith. And I was reading why they came up with that Cool Kids song. I wish I could be like all the cool kids, because all the cool kids, they seem to fit in. And they said everybody can relate to that, because there's always somebody looking at somebody else and what they're doing in their life, and they're like, I would like to do that because that'll bring me happiness. And it's like all the cool kids seem to be doing that. But the Bible says you need to be doing what God wants you to do. Because if you don't, there's these consequences, and God wants to bless us and strengthen us and transform us, and it happens by the Word of God. And so would you guys stand with me this morning? We're going to close out in prayer. And I want to encourage you guys this morning. I don't know what your time with God has been looking like the last week, or maybe the last month, or how much you've been studying the Word of God. But you don't want to be like that person that takes a bath once every 10 days. And the thing about baths is they don't last forever. Did you know that? You have a bath today. Guess what? You're going to need one tomorrow. And that's the same thing with the Word of God. The Word of God, He wants to give you a word every day you wake up. And I want to encourage you guys, maybe set up a plan where you're like, hey, look, I'm going to wake up, and the first thing that I'm going to do in the morning is I'm going to grab my Bible, or maybe my coffee. God's still okay with you getting that coffee. Get that coffee, get your Bible, and say, listen, I'm turning off my phone, I'm getting everything out of my face, and I'm going to focus on what you've got to say to me today. And really start setting a time to get alone with God and listen to what He says. And if there's something that He's showing you in your life, deal with it so you can rejoice and have real happiness. In Luke chapter 11, I think it was 11:28, Jesus said, but He said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. So what that means is we can have a happy life without pills. We can have a happy life without sleeping around. We can have a happy life without drinking and being drunk all the time. We can have a happy and holy life if by hearing the word of God, we're blessed by doing it. Listen, I want you to take God up on it and see what He does in your life. Will you try it? So Father, we just want to say this morning, we love You. And I pray that if there'd be anybody here today, that maybe they've been backslidden and they were serving You, or maybe they were following You a few years ago, God, and then something got in the way of the God and they've been going the other direction. Lord, I just want to pray for that person, that they know that Your arms are wide open and You're welcoming them home, God, and you want to have that connection with them. Maybe you've never stepped out in faith and given your life completely over to Jesus Christ because you've been scared of what life would be like that way. God's got plans for you. Everybody hearing my words this morning, God's got a plan for you. And for some of you, you've already seen Him start that plan in your life. And maybe you've given up on it, but He hasn't given up on you. And this is our opportunity to turn to Jesus and make a decision and say, God, we want You to be ruler and reign over our life. And so we give You our life. This is your opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you haven't done that, I want to encourage you. The Bible says that He will write your name in the book of life, and that there's more rejoicing in heaven over one repentant sinner, over one person that comes to God and says, Lord, I need You. I'm a sinner. I need some grace and some mercy and forgiveness in my life. There's so many righteous. So, Lord, we pray that You come into our heart, that You cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Father, we give our life to You in total submission, in total obedience, God. And we lay down our will, God, and we ask that You do a mighty work in our life, Lord, and we'll just keep our eyes on You and let You work out the rest. Because we can trust You, Jesus. Thank You, God, for all that You've done. We thank You, God, for all You're going to do. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's give God praise.